versus the estate of L. Frank Thompson.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Alex Fox. I represent the plaintiff appellant Jeffrey Burke. I have Kelly Sanders, another attorney in my office, here with me. I would reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Very brief summary of the facts. My client was driving southbound up a hill. The defendant respondent was driving northbound, rounding a corner downhill in wet conditions, lost control and slid broadside into my client, a T-bone, but essentially a head-on T-bone accident. Several of the seminal cases addressing res ipsa loquitur cite the Restatement of Torts from 1965, which gave two foundational...
Well, separate and apart from res ipsa, I think the parties were asked to address the question. I know it was specifically to the other side to address the question that you raised in your reply brief for the first time, which is why we asked for oral argument, as I understand it. And that has to do with whether there's negligence because of the violation of the law.
Yes. It's part of the mound of circumstantial evidence. It's not negligence per se, or we would have strict liability.
Right.
But it's absolutely a bit of contributory evidence.
So what is your position about why there was a violation of state law?
As far as the statutes are concerned?
Yes.
Because he crossed the center line, because he violated a lot of the RCWs involving reasonable driving too fast for conditions, crossing the center line.
Well, there's no dispute that he crossed the center line, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's not, and it's not definitive on the issue, but it's a part of the overall circumstances. It's a part of the evidence that maybe we made a mistake in not addressing it, but it's a part of the circumstantial evidence that should be considered by the court.
But you don't tell us that in your brief. You don't say there's evidence of the violation of these statutes. That's evidence of negligence. Mm-hmm. The trial court should not have granted summary judgment. That those concepts are not found in your opening brief.
No, I think it would go forward anyway, even without any violation of statutes, but I think they absolutely contribute.
My point, because you didn't raise that argument in your opening brief, why do we get to consider it now?
Fair enough if you don't want to consider it, but it Sigler talked about this, and they talked about the plaintiff. This is the gas truck where the gas tank went down on the road. She was driving too fast, the plaintiff in that action. They said, well, that's not definitive. That didn't show causation in that case. There was no proximate cause of her own injuries. But here it's absolutely part of the cause of the crash is that he crossed the center line. Why he did that is what we try to prove through negligence or through res ipsa loquitur.
Why would res ipsa apply to a circumstance where there's a statute that says that if you violate rules of the road, that's evidence of an absence of ordinary care? I don't understand your passion for this res ipsa argument and your lack of passion for a statute that says you can't cross a road, the center line of a roadway, this public policy behind that being because then you'll crash into people in a case where somebody crossed the center line of the roadway and crashed into people. Why this fixation on res ipsa and why this disdain for the violation of the actual rules of the road?
I don't have disdain for that, but it's not definitive evidence. It's not strict liability. It's evidence that supports our case.
It's evidence that would get you past summary judgment, right?
And I think it should have, and we did make those arguments.
Wouldn't it, as a matter of law, get you past summary judgment on the question of absence of ordinary care?
Yes, and I think it should have.
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily get you there on causation. I mean, it could be of different arguments, but on the absence of ordinary care because a statute says it's admissible, then it would have to be considered and it would have to create a question of fact, right?
Yes.
So why would res ipsa have anything to do with anything if you got that set up?
Well, because the court threw it out, because the court it addressed that evidence of the statute, but then it said that we didn't have enough evidence to show simple negligence. I'm saying if we don't, it could go back down on either simple negligence or res ipsa loquitur. But res ipsa loquitur says that if you hit somebody, a pedestrian, for a want of care, you run down.
I fully understand your passion for your res ipsa loquitur argument, okay? I think I can fairly tell you that the reason you're standing here today has nothing to do with that passion.
Okay.
Okay? You are here because the three of us wanted to hear about something else entirely. So use your time as you deem best fit with that hint that I gratuitously give you.
Okay. Duty, breach, causation, and damages. Obviously, we have a duty. I think we've shown a breach. He crossed the center line, very clear. Caused the accident, no question. Caused my client damages. So if that's all the court's going to look at, then I would have made a motion for summary judgment in our favor. Clearly, he did all of those things. I don't know what the issue would be before the court if it isn't race.
Well, they would present their medical evidence to suggest the absence of negligence because of a sudden medical event, and you'd have a question of fact, and we'd be having this case go to trial in front of a jury with each of you having evidence to support your theory of the case.
The court didn't get to that.
I know the court didn't get to that, but I'm suggesting to you why maybe you didn't bring a motion for summary judgment.
And maybe we will. It should be remanded, and we will make such a motion.
I think you're just being told don't bother. Because there's a question of fact on the defense,
right.
Even if there's a question of fact on
well, there's no evidence to suggest a heart attack. The ECGs were normal. Our guy is the expert in the field.
Spending your time wisely arguing that. I just tried to help you out by suggesting the state has enough evidence to survive a summary judgment. It's just a case that has to go to trial if you win.
Very well. I think there are absolutely questions of fact that should be considered by a jury. Thank you.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors.
One question for you. When the case manager called your office, we were told the city was going to submit a statement of additional authorities. I haven't seen that. Did that get submitted?
Yes, that was filed on Friday, Your Honor. And to introduce myself, my name is Lorraine Lewis Phillips, and I represent the city. And to your question as to the additional authorities that were filed on Friday, that included a case called Mathis versus Ammons. It was a Division II 1997 case that specifically talks about violation of a traffic law and whether that in and of itself proves negligence. And what the court found in the Mathis case is that a violation of the statute is admissible evidence of negligence, but it cannot be in and of itself proof of negligence. There has to be additional evidence.
Was that case a case that turned on whether there were material issues of fact at summary judgment?
That case wasn't decided at summary judgment, Your Honor. That case actually went to the trial because there were questions aside from the violation of the statute. The violation of the statute in that case was that the tractor didn't have the flashing amber lights.
Mm-hmm.
And the defendant conceded, as we do, that there was a violation of that statute. However, there was conflicting evidence as to what occurred prior to the accident, which is what sent it to the... Pardon me?
It's a proximate cause argument. The case came down on proximate cause.
Actually, they looked at the breach of duty, which is similar to what we're looking at, is that there was no breach of duty.
They didn't decide that as a matter of law there was no breach of duty in that case.
Actually, the court did ultimately find that as a matter of law, specifically, the court states that if no reasonable mind could find that the defendant failed to exercise ordinary care, aside from the violation of the statute, then the judge can find the absence of negligence as a matter of law. And that's at page 419 in the Mathis case. And so that case, and the only reason that case actually went to a jury is there was additional evidence outside of the violation of the statute where the plaintiff said that she saw the defendant driving the tractor down the center lane. The defendant said he saw that the plaintiff was actually over in his lane and that she was looking in the rearview mirror and touching her hair. Because there was some evidence.
So if I'm driving my car on the wrong side of the roadway and I crash into you, that isn't sufficient to raise a question of fact of whether I've not exercised reasonable care.
Correct. There has to be additional evidence because in 1986 the state legislature said that a violation
what's
of the statute.
What's the principle? No, that does away with it being per se, but the fact that I'm on the wrong side, not only have I violated a statute, but I'm also on the wrong side of the roadway.
Right.
Okay, and so I've done two things. I've driven toward you where you reasonably believe you're entitled to control of the roadway, and I violated a statute by doing that. So why haven't I shown more?
Well, there has to be the underlying facts that show that the reason you were on the wrong side of the road was negligent.
No. Underlying facts aren't negligence. There's no such thing as a fact that's negligent, okay? You're on the wrong side of the road. Are you doing it intentionally? Was this an assault?
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's one possibility, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not an inference that has to be drawn.
Right.
Was it a result of a mechanical failure? That's one possibility. In this case, that was ruled out. Mm-hmm. Was it the product of an illness? There's a question of fact on that in this case. Doesn't get resolved either way. It's certainly a jury question, okay? Or the only thing that's left is something to do with an absence of ordinary care.
Right.
So why doesn't it create an inference that there was an absence of ordinary care since it's not the other things
right.
established as a matter of law?
And exactly what you just said there is why doesn't that create an inference? It does create the inference, but then you have to look and see, was he distracted? Was he driving too fast? What
Why?
Is the evidence?
Why?
Because otherwise we're essentially vitiating what the state legislature has said is an abolition of negligence per se by a violation of a statute.
The jury can consider this in deciding whether you exercised ordinary care and you have presented enough evidence so that a jury could make that finding that is not required to make that finding. That's the difference. Negligence per se and evidence of negligence. Before 1986, if you had evidence of violation of the statute, you made a motion for summary judgment because you were home. That was proof of negligence. Now it's only evidence of negligence, but it is still bad.
Right. And what the judge, what the court can look at is that's evidence of negligence, but is there additional information that shows that there are no facts that indicate a breach of ordinary care? And in this case, we have no evidence.
Sure there is. Do people ordinarily drive down the wrong side of the street when they're taking care?
There can be reasons why they
there
may
can
that.
Be.
Yes,
sure. And those and that and then goes the jury.
But in this case, there was no evidence that there was a wrong reason that he was on the
sure
other
there
side.
Was. There's evidence that he tried to go back into the lane he desired.
Actually, we would disagree with that.
You would agree that there's evidence of that?
The facts show that the vehicle was sliding towards.
I thought that there was evidence that he was trying to turn the wheel.
No. In fact, I would disagree with that. There were four statements that were made by Mr. Thompson, the three of which only look at what the vehicle was doing and the fact the tires were turned. The fourth declaration that was made four years, after the accident, then starts to try and attribute intentionality to.
Maybe a jury won't believe it, but why isn't it evidence of a correction?
Because they're conclusory statements by Mr. Thompson. There is no facts and no evidence to support his conclusory statements that he then saw Mr. Thompson trying to overcorrect or steer.
I don't know.
There's no facts.
I don't understand what you're saying. It's a conclusory statement. He's saying he saw something, right?
Right. But this is
how's
4 years after.
Who cares about that? Could a jury believe it?
No, I don't believe a jury could, and neither
as a matter of law, a jury could not believe it.
The trial court did not believe it.
That's not right.
Right.
Any juror, any reasonable juror, could find that the defendant was believe this board stands?
They could.
Okay, why isn't that the end of the inquiry, since there then is an issue for the jury to decide?
Because that issue isn't an issue of fact to the breach. There has been no breach that has been shown in this case. His statement.
You say that, but we have a statute that says that the mere fact that his car is in the wrong lane on the wrong side of the center line is evidence.
It's evidence, but there needs to be more evidence to find that it.
Well, how about the evidence that he was apparently trying to get back into the other lane, the lane he should have been in?
There was no testimony to that.
We just established that there was. You just don't think that the jury can believe it, but we established that there was corrective action.
The evidence in the fourth statement didn't say he was trying to get into the other lane.
Could someone infer from what it does say that that's what he was trying to do?
I don't believe reasonably they could. I think that when they look at this, we need to look at the reasonable mind standard, and when you look at all the evidence of a reasonable mind.
So the reasonable person would conclude that he was trying to turn the steering wheel to make sure he didn't miss the guy. He was over there, and he wanted to make sure he didn't miss him, so he was turning the wheel to make sure that they had this T-bone.
No.
That's what a reasonable person would conclude.
No, the reasonable person would have to try to do.
Oh, he had no purpose.
What?
So he was in the wrong lane. He was sliding towards a car. He didn't want to T-bone with him, so for no reason whatsoever, he turned the wheel. That's what a reasonable person would conclude.
What we don't want to do is we don't want to speculate. We do.
Why is that? Why is that? Where is that speculation rather than inferences?
It's a speculation because we have absolutely no
evidence. It's a speculation that based on common experience, we don't have any idea whether average Americans try to avoid T-bone collisions.
Oh, no.
So we just have to speculate.
No, no, no.
That they don't
definitely know they tried to avoid it, but actually in this case.
So why is it the inference that he would be behaving consistent with normal human behavior?
We said that there was sudden incapacity and that he wasn't able to control.
Well, now you're trying to talk about something else entirely. Okay, there's a jury question on sudden incapacity. That's great. But that doesn't matter on this issue.
The city actually doesn't believe there's a jury issue on.
I understand that you don't believe that there's a jury issue on. I'm pretty sure of that.
There are other reasons. It is a plaintiff's burden to show that there was a breach of ordinary care. We asked, was he distracted? Their expert said, I don't know. We asked, how fast was he going?
Well, let's talk about that. Why would someone cross the center line?
There are plenty of cases that show that they.
Why would someone? No, I'm asking you. I'll tell you the reasons that I've got.
Okay.
One, he intended to. It was an assault. Okay? Two, medical event. Okay? Evidence on that, I think there's a jury question. Three, mechanical failure. Ruled out. Four, high speed, too fast for conditions. Five, failure to pay proper attention. You got any other possibilities?
Yes, swerving to avoid another car.
Was there another car, evidence of another car?
We don't know. They haven't produced facts showing whether there was or was not.
They haven't proved the absence of another car?
We have no eyewitnesses. There could have been another car that he was swerving to try to avoid.
Oh, and that's not speculation.
All of it's speculation, Your Honor. That's the point,
okay.
Is that we don't have the facts to show that there is a breach of duty.
All right.
And the city hopes that you will affirm the lower.
Start working on your opening statement.
I don't want to talk the court out of a decision to remand this. Maybe I don't. Thank you very much.
Be done.
Thank you. The court will be in recess.
All rise. Court is in recess.